Welcome to Fielding Questions, a podcast produced in collaboration between Egg Country Farm Credit Services and the Red River Farm Network that explores the world of agriculture and rural life. Weather is always on the mind of farmers and ranchers, and that's what we're talking about here today. Joining us is Paul Trombley, Chief Meteorologist with Weatherology. Welcome back to the program, Paul.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, Paul, it's been a very interesting year so far, weather-wise, at least here in the upper Midwest. Things are looking pretty good overall for farmers and ranchers right now, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, definitely in a much better position than we were at this time last summer across the Midwest, Northern Plains. Definitely a lot more encouraging signs than last year right now.
So it seemed hard to tell what type of weather year it was going to be with a complete lack of snow last winter, but then all of a sudden the spring rains came and they didn't really stop. In terms of an average year, you know, how would you place us overall?
You know, kind of a year of extremes, really. You know, as you can kind of alluded to, it was very much a snowless winter across the upper Midwest, through those northern plains, upper Great Lakes states, very much a kind of a snow drought this winter. But thankfully, the spring was exceedingly wet. And yeah, for states through North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, especially Minnesota and Wisconsin, it was particularly like one of the wettest springs on record that's kind of followed that dry winter. And it certainly turned things around enough time to get things looking good for the growing season.
So, of course, there was a lot of moisture. Why is that? Is it due to a weather pattern, or how does that work for those of us who may not, you know, follow weather every single day?
Yeah, you know, I mean, a lot of it's related to the position of the jet stream, where it's predominantly setting up and where it isn't, where it is setting up, which is what happened basically over the Northern Plains, Great Lakes. We had a pretty consistent, active jet stream off the Pacific into the Northern Plains, upper Midwest, and that just brought us, one storm system after the other for the spring and for the summer as well, early in the summer. And usually that jet stream will kind of waver north or south at times, kind of giving you more breaks from precipitation, but we just really didn't have much of that for the spring and early summer.
And the last few years have largely been defined by La Nina. Late last year, we finally saw El Nino come back, but now it looks like La Nina will be returning once again. Has this been a short El Nino season, or is there a typical length of these weather patterns?
Typically, it falls within a year to two years, typically on these cycles in the equatorial Pacific. And yeah, typically during especially a strong El Nino like the one we had last year and in the winter, typically we'll see that followed by a La Nina. So that's kind of coming in line as you would expect. And we're right now in a neutral phase. They call it ENSO neutral phase, but it does look like September, October will start to phase into a La Nina cycle starting that goes through the winter season.
So we had a strong El Nino. Are they typically followed up by a strong La Nina, or is there any type of correlation there at all?
There's not anything, that's going to signal a strong La Nina following a strong El Nino, but the La Nina usually sets in, but there's not much of a read on it being, because it was an intense El Nino, it's going to be an intense La Nina. There isn't that type of correlation, but it is very pivotal. We had mentioned going into this past winter, it was one of the stronger El Ninos that we'd seen going into a winter season. And anytime you have a stronger El Nino or La Nina, its impacts are typically more, magnified, stronger impacts on especially the winter season. And we certainly saw that play out last winter.
So you mentioned that we're more in a neutral pattern right now. Is that beneficial to farmers and ranchers in this part of the world? Thinking about, of course, we have the fall harvest coming up.
Really, our wet spring really kind of set things in a good position, to be at this later point in the summer. So, it's really recharged the topsoil, the subsoil moisture. So, unlike last year, we have quite a bit of that to draw on. Even if we do get some, hot, dry spells here late summer, before we get to harvest time, to kind of stave off any, you know, crop damage or anything like that with less, you know, vulnerability, you know, given the amount of moisture that we've built up during the spring, early summer. But yeah, it's definitely been a lot different in other parts of the country concerning how hot the summer has been. And, you know, we've definitely been pretty fortunate in the upper Midwest concerning summer heat to this point.
Right. And that's something that I also wanted just to touch upon. I mean, up here, it's, you know, at times has been unseasonably cooler, but the rest of the country has been kind of scorching, to put it just bluntly. Yeah. Thinking about that, is that just because of where the high or low pressure system or the jet stream sets?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the Western United States has really seen a persistent, you know, pattern where they have this major ridge of high pressure, which happens when the jet stream kind of amplifies, you know, over a certain area of the country. And when that happens, you just get the heat just compiling. And they just have had that to pretty much no end over the last several weeks out west. Now, some of the monsoonal moisture out in the Rockies is kind of helping break a little bit of that heat with some of the afternoon storms. But yeah, it's been pretty rampant heat. So not only the western U.S., southern plains, much of the east has been. I mean, there have been countless days of record highs all the way up through Maine at times this summer. But yeah, we've definitely been fortunate. Just the basis of the jet stream has been in our favor, kind of keeping us with those cooler, refreshing, you know, Canadian breezes, if you will, to kind of stave off that heat that's building in other areas of the country.
It is now wildfire season, and you're seeing it more and more on the news of either Canadian wildfires or wildfires out west. How does that smoke then come into play, of course, in the upper Midwest, given where the wind blows?
Typically, I mean, with the pattern that we're in, you know, this summer, it's a lot of the prevailing winds aloft and the mid-levels. We've been in a pattern where those prevailing winds kind of move from northwest to southeast out of western Canada. So with all the fires that have been going on since early in the season out in British Columbia, and since then, it's pretty rampant fires across northern Saskatchewan and Alberta, Northwest Territories. So with the position of the jet stream and the prevailing winds, you know, we have, as of late, certainly been seeing more of that smoke noticing in the atmosphere, and at times affecting the quality of the air at the surface, too, that we've seen as of late.
One interesting thing I saw recently was when there is a larger amount of corn grown in a certain area, the amount of moisture tends to be a little higher. Could you just kind of explain that phenomena?
Yeah, so the corn, if you want to get to the history of corn, if you will, corn was developed from a native grass, I believe, in somewhere in Latin America, I believe, you know, southern Mexico, kind of that territory. And so basically, because that's such a very tropical climate down there, it's very wet, very hot, it enjoys those types of patterns. Because of that, the corn crop actually has a really high evaporation rate because it, I think basically where it's indigenous, it rains a lot. Tropical moisture is pretty plentiful. So because of that, it evaporates moisture out of the soil very quickly and much more than other crops do. And that moisture, you know, if you call it transpiration, it takes the moisture out of the soil, puts it into the air, and it can actually increase the local dew point in an area that's predominant with corn, especially when it's getting more mature. It has been known to raise, you know, the dew points a couple degrees, maybe even a little more than that in certain patterns.
So all the listeners out there in areas that are heavy corn areas, if you're wondering why it might be a little more sticky in certain months, well, this might be it. But Paul, thinking about, you know, the upcoming, you know, the next few months, what do some of the models look like right now?
I mean, there's very much a high degree of confidence in this heat out in the western U.S., probably the southern plains being persistent into the month of August and, you know, maybe into September. So that, you know, with North Dakota kind of on the edge of, you know, being in the west, some of that heat will likely, you know, make its way east at times. But given the patterns that we've been seeing and what we expect to continue, I think the heat will be kind of shorter lived. But the jet stream is very much, you know, been in that ridge out west, and then it dives southeast out of western Canada into the Midwest and the Great Lakes. And that, you know, type of pattern to continue would keep the heat waves from being extended, you know, periods of time. So that's kind of the thought. I mean, as far as how the fall goes, you know, we definitely had a tendency to have warmer falls in recent years, which has kind of extended some of the growing season around the upper Midwest. You know, and also, you know, certainly given, you know, more chances for, you know, the maturity of the crops to certainly not have to concern too much as much as we have sometimes.
All right. And we did mention that a La Nina is very likely coming and following. What does that typically mean for the upper Midwest in terms of winters and growing season?
You know, the winter season is going to be the most impactful time for a La Nina or an El Nino cycle. So there are some, you know, small tendencies that have been shown in the fall, maybe spring seasons with those, but not as much to kind of hang your hat on as far as that's concerned. So with its effects probably most pronounced in the winter, a typical La Nina, it's going to make for, you know, more seasonally chilly winter over the northern plains, upper Midwest, Great Lakes. And then the snowfall can be at times enhanced in that area too. It would be very, very surprising to see this winter be as snowless as last winter. I mean, it would be very unlikely to see that happen. And a La Nina makes that less likely even than obviously where odd winter was last year with the warmth and the lack of snow.
Is there anything else farmers and ranchers or listeners in general should be aware of right now when it comes to weather?
I mean, it's definitely been interesting. This past year has been a year of extremes, certainly with precipitation patterns. I think that's probably been the biggest challenge at times. You know, we all heard about a lot of the flooding going on down into Minnesota, further south through the Missouri River Valley, Mississippi. And, you know, it's certainly been that time of extremes. So heading into the fall, it's difficult to say if we'll, you know, hopefully we'll kind of settle into some middle ground. There's nothing that's pointed to us, you know, being anything highly unusual into the fall season right now with the weather patterns. But, you know, the most pronounced thing that we're probably seeing is just probably hotter than average temperatures out west that'll be more persistent late summer into the fall. And some of that, you know, getting into the plains, central plains at times a little more too. Into the upper Midwest, Great Lakes, there might be more of a tendency for those, you know, late season hot air masses being more abbreviated, which could trend the temps a little more seasonal more often in the upper Midwest than our friends further south and west.
Well, Paul, thank you very much for taking some time and explaining the weather to us here today.
You bet. Always good to catch up with you, and always something interesting going on as far as our weather is concerned in the upper Midwest. It's never a lack of interest.
That is certainly true. That is Paul Trombley, Chief Meteorologist with Weatherology. If you have a question about a financial topic, we would love to hear from you. You can message Ag Country on Facebook, tweet at them on Twitter, or submit your question using their website at agcountry.com.